Welcome to the Wealth Building Made Simple podcast with Philip Washington Jr. Today's episode is brought to you by StonehillWealthManagement.com. Today, along with CPA Allison Reif Martin, Philip talks about private equity trends. Philip Washington Jr. is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. And now, here's Philip.
We are back with another episode of Wealth Building Made Simple with Allison Reif Martin, live here from Texas. I said that because of my sweatshirt.
Oh, okay. Oh my God, this has been a great month of episodes with you. I've been really having fun with this. So,
look, it's springtime. Springtime brings out the even better energies.
I was going to say, too, what did they say about March? It comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. I feel like we've come in like a lion full of fun, and we're still going to go out like a lion full of fun.
What is a lamb? A lamb goes out like slaughter or something? I like lambs.
No, quietly. So, because you think, you know, the start of March is like up in Ohio, it was always lots of thunderstorms, but it's basically getting you ready for, you know, great thing, you know, a great, beautiful spring. So it's a lot more calm. So if you have the fury at the beginning, then, you know, with like meditation and contemplation, you can certainly be ready to move into the beautiful spring.
Nice. I love it. I love it. So today what's the topic we're talking about today?
The risks and rewards of surge pricing.
Oh yeah. And you were telling me before about like this was triggered by like something that Wendy's did, but I sort of missed the whole debacle.
So Wendy's came up with this, I would say, depending upon if you like Wendy's or not, I think it's a silly idea. But their idea, and there was a lot of great thought behind it, but they want to implement what's called surge pricing. So if you come at 10 a.m. to get your hamburger, it would cost X. If you come at noon, which is a peak time when all of us are there to have lunch and everything, it'll be X plus a dollar kind of a thing. So, you know, the price fluctuates according to demands of the business. Think of it too, like when you drive on the tollway. The tollways here in Dallas, the pricing will fluctuate based on peak time and peak usage. So it's a great thing to do. Or it's a great thing to consider based on the product or service that you're providing, but is it always a good idea to do?
Okay.
So, I personally sit there and think, and I've heard some fun jokes about it. And in fact, I think Wendy's backed off based on how the market responded to the idea, because in the end, does the hamburger taste better with an extra dollar? It's still the same dollar. And I heard a joke, and knowing that I used to work in fast food in my high school and college, you know, college jobs, some joke was, hey, you're going to be sitting with, you know, your hamburgers for like, you know, you're selling a hamburger, you buy it at 10 a.m. at the lower price and you sell it at 4 p.m. where the peak demand is later. That's like 8 hours your hamburgers are sitting out there, you know, and the joke was, well, isn't that what they do now?
Right, right. Yeah, they make them four months ago and then.
Exactly, right? So anyway, so surge pricing to me seems like it's valuable depending upon what the market will what the market will bear. So is it a product that isn't, or service that is in high demand?
Mm-hmm.
So if you sit there and think tax returns, you know, the peak time is obviously going to be March 15th and April 15th or September 15th and October. So should CPAs or tax preparers or accountants have surge pricing, you know, based on peak demand? So in January, is that a worthwhile thing to pursue? What are your thoughts?
You know, I feel like there's a market for everything and everyone. I feel like if you think about fast food specifically, people are paying for convenience, right? Meaning, if I'm an operator, and even though their costs might fluctuate, right? Because the further down the supply chain you go to the market, right? You know, the closer you are to like the market, the more you got to deal with volatility. But when you're consumer facing, they're paying you to deal with the volatility. They're like, my job is not to deal with the fluctuating prices. I just want to buy what I want to buy. And so I feel like a good operator can say, all right, let me get my money in order. Let me lock in my expenses the best way we can, which those companies do with the futures market. And then if you do that properly, you can have a steady hamburger price for a year, 2 years, so it doesn't affect your food costs. And then also from a delivery standpoint, like, you know, if you run good operations, you can have good, fast service selling the same product like a Cane's or a Chick-fil-A does, right? Because you can go in a chain, you can go into Chick-fil-A at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and still come out faster than going into Wendy's at like 10 a.m. You know what I mean? So like the problem isn't, for me, the surge pricing. The problem is you just guys don't have the operations that I feel like you want in this specific instance. That's just my perspective. I don't run a multinational corporation that sells hamburgers.
Well, having worked at McDonald's in my high school and college, I would completely agree. And I think it goes back to the idea of our pyramid. They, you know, why do they need surge pricing? Sometimes because they don't have the firm, you know, a hamburger is a hamburger is a hamburger. If you have the firm foundation of the process and the operations, well, then do you necessarily need it? Maybe you just keep the price the same, you know, and you sit there and think, you know, one of the risks to surge pricing is you will lose customers. Mm-hmm. Why do I need to pay an extra dollar for a hamburger? It right. tastes the same at 10 versus at noon.
Right.
Right. You know, and again, I think it goes back to the idea of the delivery, like with how, because you're right, Chick-fil-A can do it like that. Well, they have a strong process in place as to how they provide their Chick-fil-A sandwich or whatever it is they provide. And again, it's fast food. You're not there for a, you know, Michelin five-star dinner kind of a thing.
Yeah. And I feel like Wendy's for a long time has been working out the operation details because they started off, what, in the 90s? You know,
Roberts.
Right. Saying like, where's the meat? Now I get me a Wendy's burger and I go like, where's the meat? Shrinkflation has happened a lot in that meat over the last few decades. I'm like, I get my burger. Where's the meat? You know,
And I was going to say, you know, if you read all the comments and the articles, you know, someone suggested, and I would think rightly, Dave Roberts would say, who was the founder of Wendy's, by the way, he would say he would be appalled by this idea.
Yeah.
It's all about the service that you provide. You know, and if it's a standard product, do you really need to have surge pricing? Is it really in that much of a demand? And I think that goes back to, are you going to continue to keep your customer base? Does the market really justify you having surge pricing? Chick-fil-A doesn't do it. And they're, you know, they're a top rated, you know, fast food. Why don't they do it? They don't need to, because they have excellent customer service that they provide and they deliver their product, and it's a standardized product. So same with Wendy's and McDonald's. It's a standardized product. What you get in California is what you're supposed to get in Maryland.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to compare even burger spots, I'm going to go on record with this because there was a big debate a few years ago of In-N-Out versus Whataburger. And this is before Whataburger got bought out by private equity. When Whataburger got bought by private equity, I guess I do know what happens. It's typically what happens when private equity buys out companies. It takes its soul. Not all, but it took its soul. And so now I'm a In-N-Out fan because the burgers are actually pretty good and you can be In-N-Out because they have such a great streamlined operation, right? And they keep it simple. I go in there, I know what I'm going to get, right? I've learned about the secret menu. Right, there's a secret menu that I learned.
Okay, do tell, because I confess I do not like In-N-Out or Whataburger for that matter.
Yes. I can't say that I have ordered from the secret menu yet, but I've recently learned there's a secret menu that you can ask about and then they won't just tell you. Right. So I need to do more research on the secret menu. Steve is nodding his head. Yes. He obviously knows about it being from California.
Well, then I will have to find out about this great secret menu to see if it will entice me to want to go back, because I will say, And then even having worked at McDonald's, who would go there?
Yeah. So, especially not, I haven't been in a my wife forbade us from going to McDonald's. It's not.
I agree. I completely agree. But that's kind of the same thing. If you just think it's a standardized product, there is no differentiating factor to make me want to pay an extra dollar for a Wendy's hamburger. So you kind of have to think, if you're going to do it, what is the differentiator to motivate your clients to want to pay extra?
Right. Yeah, I can't think of one.
Of a fast food, no, but like your service, is there a product? Is there something that differentiates you that would justify the surge pricing?
No, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And since we got a little bit of time, if you had to bottle up the commonality between what all of us are selling, right? Whether it's hamburgers, chicken, tax services, financial services, widgets, gadgets, like what is the common theme that we're all selling?
We're selling, honestly, it kind of goes back to, we're doing it because we're trying to solve your problem. What is the problem to be solved? Clayton Christian, who's a great Harvard professor, he developed the theory. What is the product's problem to solve? A hamburger, what does it fulfill for you? Food, tax preparation, compliance, financial planning, retirement, mm-hmm. You know, widgets. I don't know what service a widget would provide, but you know, something.
A widget. And yeah.
But no, how can you stand above the crowd and be the one who provides the hamburger or the tax preparation or, you know, the airplane trip to, you know, London to see Burna Boy? How can you do that better and faster than anybody else?
Yeah, no, I love that. You said solution, and I felt like that was the missing link, right? If I'm going specifically to this example, since we're harping on, not to harp on them, but I'm like, if you're selling convenience, then your operations need to feel like this, you know what I'm saying? Like your fast food, I'm a busy parent with kids' activities and everything I got to do. And so like, I need to get some food. I need it to be convenient and affordable, right? And so if it doesn't feel that way, then I'm not going to go into the details of like the nerd math of like why you're doing this. I just go, I just don't feel like, this feels hassle.
I feel like.
Yeah.
And you sit there and think, like you were saying, you know, the hamburger is the extra dollar worth the inconvenience of driving with a messy hamburger in your car, you know, kind of a thing. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that's really the question is, does your service or product fulfill a great need and you do it better and faster than anybody else?
Absolutely. Well, let everybody know how they can reach you if they want to make sure that their vision allows with their operational and service experience so that they can reap the profit rewards that they deserve from executing properly.
Exactly. So you can reach me at my website, RifeMartinCPA.com, or you can email me at info@RifeMartinAccounting.com, and I would love to talk about that and any other topic.
Thanks, Allison. This is a fun topic, too.
Yes, I really enjoyed this one, and I hope everybody's March went in like a lion and goes out like a lion or a lamb, depending upon how you want the rest of the year to go. And lion being a great thing, not like a, you know, chaotic storm.
Roar.
We'll have a great rest of the week.
You too. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Philip Washington Jr. is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Past performance is not indicative of future performance.